about the tower and about the one. There's lots of different ways you can look at the tower. But if we just look at this arrangement that we've got here, which is not to do with the four directions or to do with anything other than this particular name that we've been chanting, Yud-Heh-Shin-Vav-Heh, which is the, in Hebrew tradition, this is the name of God. But it's also an image of a creative process. So the word Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is said to be the name of being. It's derived from a word called Chaya in Hebrew, which is to live. So the image, the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is actually, if you like, a synonym for life. To be alive, to be. The letter Shin at the center is regarded as the sort of the holy breath, the energy of creation that works through the cycle of Yud He Vav He. So the central cards, which are the tarot called the major cards or the tarot trumps, are these kind of living images that, if you like, come into being from the mysterious place, from the place that the Egyptians would have understood as the waters of the beginning. And they have these kind of powerful kind of creative qualities that manifest in the world through the cycle of the name and these 1 to 10 cards, the wands, cups, swords and pentacles represent really this sort of the process of creation as it manifests. So in a certain sense, the tarot pack represents the coming into manifestation of the gods and the goddesses within us and within the world. Now, wands and the letter Yud are applied to the idea of beginnings, of ignition, of intention and will. Yeah, wands are related to the, and the letter Yud, the on top of, are related to the in Hebrew, the Yud is the first, is the smallest letter. It's this spark of life that comes out of the mystery, and so wands represent the idea of will, the idea of ignition and beginning, the idea of intention. The spark, really, the kick. It's the spark that kicks off the universe, and the spark.
Looks like a sperm,
it? Yes, it is, and it looks like a sperm. It looks like that.
It's one or yod.
Yod.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one?
Is that one?
The top.
Yod is the top letter, and so the whole suit of wands, the whole 1 to 10 of wands, have a relationship to that idea of intention, of will, of ignition, and that then the processes that happen after ignition. And like Ali said, it's like the sperm manifesting and sort of and kicking off the life cycle. The going clockwise around the circle, then to the first letter He. This is the primal female letter, the kind of letter of the Great Mother, you might say, and cups represent the kind of the vessel of life. They represent water. So you, as wands represent fire, that kind of fiery energy. Cups represent water. They represent containment. In the human psyche, they represent the imagination that can hold and create a kind of images. So in a sense, the wands represent a relationship to will. Cups represent relationship to the imagination and to the capacity to form, capacity to shape.
Are they almost like a female quality to them?
Yeah, they are. They have
male.
Yes. So the wand is as much and the yod is much more like the male. If the cups are kind of feminine and female, and Going around the cycle, we come to swords, which represent the letter Vav, which is the letter which is the linking letter, which connects things together. This represents breath, air.
Just the center one.
No, not the center one. The center one is represents spirit. This is one of the bottoms. This is the swords, ace of swords. Represents movement, change. Life and death. Swords protect and kill. So in the tarot cards of swords, there's quite a lot of death type cards, because swords are all about movement and change. The final final card, Pentacles, with associated with the second hay, represents the embodiment, manifestation, earthing, grounding, wealth, security. All those sorts of things. The body, you could say, just the sense of body.
Wealth, you said.
Yeah, wealth and absence of wealth. Now, one way to see the tarot is, and we'll see this as when we come to the Tree of Life in a moment, is it's a mandala of movement and relationship. So you can imagine this as in the center, the kind of the archetypes moving in and out of existence, that the gods coming and going, visiting and going away. And the first of the tarot trumps is the Fool, who's always stepping into manifestation and in a sense continually brings to birth these different images that are coming through the kind of major tarot arcana. Now they're always stepping in and out, into manifestation, out of manifestation. What's continually going on all the time as well is a cycle of creation, beginning with ignition, the impulse to do something, the intention to do something, the shape of something emerging, that coming into activity in the kind of breath swords thing, and in that and coming into sort of form then in the sort of pentacles. And then that form, that manifested form breaking down, coming back again to a new beginning at the beginning of the Ace of Wands, and touching into that deeper spiritual pool and something new emerging. Now in the...
So you just said you come back into the Ace of Wands then?
Yes, well you come back in a sense as that cycle dies off, in a sense you come back in a way to the centre, which is the mysterious spirit point where some spiritual impulse starts to emerge, which then kicks off the new cycle. So this is like a spiral kind of process. So in a certain sense, if you can think you have a sort of a connection to the sort of the deeper spirit at the center. Now some impulse arises out of that, some intention arises out of that, which if we stay with then comes into some form, some image, which is where we get cups. So we get the possibility of something emerging. And then that has to be brought into life. Now in that process of bringing something into life, with swords, you come into life and death energies. Now, in any creative project, when you do this, you'll know. So you get you get stirred by, touched by something. You get a sort of an impulse to bring something into being. Then it starts to take shape, and then to bring it alive, you get this. What often is quite a slightly frustrating process of things coming, having to kill a lot. Actually, you have to kill a lot of your impulses and creative ideas to allow something to emerge that can embody. You know, it's that business where you know you have this idea, you have this kind of impulse, and you have these images arise. But then as you start to bring that into actual activity in life, some work and some don't work. So a lot of it gets killed. Mostly you're left with most of your exciting ideas or kind of images you have to get rid of, in order then for something to ground itself, something to be. Now that's something that to be then has its own life cycle, and it works. So, and at a certain point, it comes, it lives, it dies, and then you're back into the empty place of the beginning again.
back to intention.
Well, no, back before intention, you're back into the middle point before intention, because you, the middle point is the where you get the major cards in the middle.
Back to the soul.
So back to the soul, back to the emptiness, back to sort of not knowing, and waiting for some impulse to come out of the deep, which is the new energy of the wand, mm-hmm. The Ace of Wands starting to kick in again.
Sort of missed out the pentacles. I was like,
well, the pentacles are where
and then
something survives out of that. Something comes out of that that's viable. It has life, that then embodies itself through the cycle of the pentacles. Right, so that becomes solid, becomes living, becomes independently viable of you, has its own life.
So something comes out of all of this process.
Yeah. Yeah, that then manifests. That then has shape. Rather, that then has shape and its own life. Yeah, it becomes. It lives. It lives independently, and then it has its own life cycle. It lives. It dies. You then come back to the beginning again. Now that process is going on all the time. All the time, we're kind of creating ourselves, creating the world. This is something that I'm going to look at later using the Tree of Life to look at, but it's a sort of a creative cycle that's continually going on underneath the surface all the time. So all the time we're appearing as ourselves, and the world is appearing as the world that we can live in. And you know, so this is something we've been doing ever since, you know, ever since we first ignition point somewhere. We've been creating, shaping our world. Human beings are creative beings. But it until you start inquiring into the nature of the inner dialogue, it doesn't feel like creative process. It just feels like this is how things are. This is how I am. This is how the world is. We don't know it as a fluid, fast-moving process. We know it as a solidity. It's that awful phrase you hear people sometimes say, well, that's the way I am. And they do that, often, you know, they do that with kind of, what's the way I am? Kind of, you know, which is sort of, you know, it is a sort of an aggressive fuck-off gesture, basically. Kind of, I'm not going to change, and the world's got to change. And or the other comment is, well, that's the way the world is, isn't it? You know, that resignation, well, what can you explain the way the world is? I'm not very lucky, me. No, it's that kind of statement, right? Which is an absolute statement, because the person has become disconnected from their sense of agency, their sense of intention, their ability to imagine, their ability to vivify and give life, and their ability to manifest and earth their experience. So as we, in a sense, try to engage with this and to disrupt, if you like, the known process that we're in, we have to come into some understanding, conscious understanding of the creative process that underpins our sense of self and sense of world. So what I would like you to do, so I want you first of all to pick up the wands that you've so carefully arranged. I'd like you to shuffle them. And when you shuffle them, don't look at them as you're shuffling them, because you need not to see what you're doing. I do this quite randomly. So not to pick a good one. But I just wanted to shuffle the cards, and then just pick one. And
we're just doing wands
right now. So pick one. Lay the rest aside and put that one down.
Is it just some random card?
Yeah, just some random card as you shuffle. Just shuffle. Put it face up. Yes, you can see it. And put and have the rest face down, or put them aside, whatever you want to do. So there's one card face up. Do the same.
Do we have to have that one?
Yeah, we do. You do. So we're going to do whatever has whatever. Well, so do the same thing with the cups.
Do we have that? Do we just put that card at the top of the pack?
Yeah, yeah. Those are going to be facing down. So you only got one card facing up. So I'll do it with cups. No, we're just letting the tarot talk to us in whatever way it does. Okay, and so just again choose a card. Same thing with swords.
Oh
dear. I know.
Is this like testing? We don't ask what the meaning is. Or
no, none of that. There's no test involved. The only test involved was actually laying them out in the first place, I think. Kind of. That was clearly a big challenge. It was a big challenge for Sunday morning, that was definitely. And then finally, do the same thing with the cards in the centre. Do the pentacles and then the major cards in the centre. Same thing. Shuffle, and pick one that's going to be in the centre. Right, don't be too worried about the things that are written on them. We're not using those. We're looking at them as images. So we're just looking at the image.
That's always good.
So when you've done all the cards, including the ones in the middle, just make sure you've done the middle one as well. Yeah, the major trumps. Yeah, you do that as well. Well, life is full of change. So when you've got all four of them laid out, all five actually laid out like that, I just want you to look at them. So just hang out with the images. Notice the center image, which is the image of something coming out of the mystery. Look at Wands, which is a card of will and beginnings. Cups, which is imagination and shaping. Swords, which is the vivifying, the bringing of something to life. and pentacles, which is about earthing, grounding. And then just close your eyes and just notice your body come into your senses. Noticing your sense of touch, touching the skin, touching the earth, touching the ground, touching your clothes, touching the air. Coming into hearing the sound of my voice and other sounds in and outside the room. Noticing seeing, smelling, tasting. The felt sense of the cards take you inwards and downwards. Letting go of the sense of self being in the depth, but being with the felt sense of the cards, who also dissolve in form, but remain in energy. Being with the images, being with the stillness in a different way. And then bringing your attention upwards and outwards. Letting your senses unfold into the room. Being aware of sitting on the ground, sitting on the chair. Be aware of your skin touching the air of the room, skin touching your clothes. Being aware of sound in the room. Smelling and tasting the room. When you're ready, opening your eyes and looking down at the cards again. And then just bring your attention back out, away from the cards. Turn the cards over. And then just sit quietly, just for a few minutes, just being with yourself, being with that whole experience, and just seeing what comes to you. Okay, let's just see what needs to be said from any of that. What are you with? What's that experience like?